we'll open up and ask God's blessing upon tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for the day you've given to us and allowing us to be here together tonight. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, challenge us. Hope may your Holy Spirit convict and guide as you see fit. And then allow us to make decisions, dear Lord, that will honor and glorify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, I want to do a short reading today, verses 31 through 39. I'd like to have you follow along with me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31 says this. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand, who is also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, for we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I think back on our Sunday school over the last several months, at least 6 months, our personal Sunday school class for home builders, we've been traveling through two different studies. One of them is on the fact that Christ is gentle and lowly. And for you and I, these are incredible commodities. The fact that Christ presents himself, and out of all of the Gospels, he focuses in on these two character qualities about himself. And for you and I, these are invaluable. The fact that Christ, in our relationship, he oftentimes responds. Now, he is just. He is just. He is forgiving. He obviously hates sin, but he does love the sinner. And it's important in home builders that we understand that Christ, when we do sin, when there is somebody that is astray, Christ's response is that of gentleness, willing for that prodigal to come home. And one of Satan's big lies to the community and to those who are away from Christ is, I step one foot inside the church, it's going to cave in, I promise you. And there's a general belief that God's mad. And he hates sin, let's face it, he does. Sin destroys his children. But he does love the sinner. And then we transitioned our study over to the fact that in a marriage relationship, you and I have the ability to love our spouses, which is a great opportunity. But we also have the opportunity to cherish our spouses. And a long time ago, when Tamara and I were married, almost 33 years ago, I had to ask Tamara, did I vow to love and cherish you? And she said, yeah, that was in the vows. I was like, okay, I got to do it. This is all I got to do. And it, you know, at that, if you're married, you understand that night's kind of a blur. And you just want to make sure everything goes perfectly. But when you cherish somebody, that really is the bar up on loving. And they're not the same. Love is different than cherish. Cherishing is something where you adore, you protect, you watch over. And this is something that you can do for your spouse. It is a decision that you make. And by the way, we've mentioned this in Home Builders. The goal, obviously, is to have a lifelong marriage. But a goal on top of that is that this marriage be a quality marriage. And it's not just a partnership and a parenting relationship, but that you are deeply cherishing your spouse. We've got the opportunity to do that. And we are about to head into a study on transformation in the home. Now, I can make no apology about this. I absolutely love transformation. And if you're a pastor, if you're a minister, if you're a nursery worker, if you're involved in the ministry in any fashion, your goal is transformation. You want to see things and people change. One of the difficult things pastoring is the fact that people don't change quickly. Pastor, I heard a little wee amen. People just don't change quickly, right? But thank God we do transform. And through the power of the Word, and you've heard me say this before, whenever I speak, I am humbled to open up God's Word because I know God's Word has transformative power. It's not me. It's not my willpower. I do definitely know this through the Spirit's guidance and help. God transforms my life little by little, and He transforms your life little by little. And so when we talk about transformation, there's a couple different ways that people are transformed, but the vital, most important way that you and I are transformed is through truth. And that truth is found in God's Word. And it's vital that you open up Scripture on a daily basis, that you spend time with God, and that you let His Spirit transform you. And there's a powerful declaration found in verse number 31. It's this: what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This powerful declaration is of God's support and His care and His protection over His children. And the goal tonight is not just to understand these truths, but to apply them. And it would be a good review for us to understand these truths in Scripture and to have this knowledge buckled in, but more importantly, that you and I apply them to our daily lives. And then as we apply these to our daily lives, guess what happens after the application? Then comes transformation. And Scripture definitely tells us, don't be just hearers of the Word, but actually doers. And how many times have you and I sat through a message or a Sunday school class or whatever type of teaching time or maybe even a devotional time, you and God, and you've understood knowledge, you've taken it in, and you've said, yes, that is true, that is correct. This is something that I need to adhere to or obey or not do anymore. And that is just purely knowledge, but beyond that, there needs to be application. And there needs to be activity. And that's where transformation happens. And so for you and I tonight, I pray that as we take a look at these three transformational truths, that we would not just look at them as knowledge, as a, yeah, Bob, that's right, that's great, but we would actually apply these to our lives, and I'm going to do my best to help us apply these as well. Number one, the very first transformational truth that we need to capture tonight is that fact that God has a sovereign plan to protect us and to give us purpose. We find this in verse number 31 when it says, what shall we say then to these things if God is for us? Now, let me stop there for a second. Is it not an incredible statement to make tonight out of Scripture that our God is literally for us? Like, He is bent on taking care of us. His goal is to commune with us, and for me, it kind of gets me charged up. Our God is literally on our side. He is for us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be Christ-like, and we're going to mention this. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. So if you look at Scripture, I pray that you don't think that this is a hypothetical question like, what if God's for us? But what if the case is that God is actually on our side? No, this is not a hypothetical question. This is literally a statement. And Scripture reads in my King James Version with the word if. But the statement really is this: because or since God is for us. It's already a given, and it's a statement. Because God is for us, and because He is on our side, who then can be against us? Like, who's going to compare to God? Who's going to weigh up next to God? Absolutely nobody. And we'll find out later in Scripture that His love, there is nothing that separates us from the love of God. So the very first transformational truth is this, that God has a sovereign plan to protect us and to give us purpose. And Paul's going to build off of this. And if we were to back up just a little bit in verse number 29, it says this: for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, there's our purpose. If I were to stop, just this past year, I became involved in Awanas. And I want you to take this the right way. I love the chaos of Awanas. I do. I love the kids bouncing into my knees. I love them, like, reciting Bible verses, and it usually goes like this. Can I break this verse up into, like, seven sections? And I'm like, no. This is just one complete thought. Let's do this. And they'll start with two words, and they're like, oh, okay, I need to study again. All right, let's stop. Let's focus in on this. And let's get the whole verse. And so I take the opportunity while we're going through the verses to say this. Hey, listen, let's read through the verse. Let's say it together. And then I stop because I know the agenda of what's supposed to be happening. We are literally trying to plant God's word in these little minds so that when they're my age and your age, they have some truth that they can grab onto and make lifelong decisions for that. It doesn't bother me that they're struggling through verses. I just want God's word inside their heart. And so there's only one way that this is going to happen. There's only one way that this little life is going to be transformed, and that is if we embed God's truth inside their lives. Do you know what happens with this truth? It transforms lives. And so I love Awanas. If we can just get one verse in a kid for life, victory. It's good. If we can get them to remember this for the week and pass the Awanas door and the next year and pass the signature and the date, victory. So this is what happens when truth is embedded in a child's life. It transforms. So when we think about this and Paul, as he backs up and he gives us our purpose in verse number 29, we need to ask the question, if God is for us, and since God is for us, and because God is for us, who can be against us? And it's with absolute security that God gives us this protection. And he gives us this purpose. Now, if there is something else that I would put in every young kid's heart, and if I could put it in your heart tonight as well, it would be this. God has a purpose for you, and he will protect you as he continues to develop, but unveil his will for you. God has a purpose for you, and he will protect you as he opens up his will for you day by day. Now, you can't say that. That's not a Bible verse. But you can tell a kid this. And you know what? You and I can tell our children this. And if you were to come to Home Builders, little plug, Sunday school class, you would hear this nonstop. That you and I have the ability to tell our children that God's got a purpose for you. And he's going to protect you along the way. And yes, there's going to be some roadblocks. There's going to be some disappointment. There's going to be an opposition. But that has nothing to do with the fact that God has a purpose for us, and he's driven to protect us. Does it not give you some sort of happiness to know that an all-powerful God has our lives designed? And he knows what's going to happen tomorrow? And he knows that when we hit a roadblock and we're shaking our head going, what is going on right now? That God knows what's going on. And he knows the way around the obstacle. So when we think about this, one of the truths that you and I can capture tonight is this. That God's got a plan for our protection, and he's got a purpose for our lives. And you can say, hey, Bob, that's great. Awesome knowledge, but I don't feel it. That's great knowledge, but you know, how does it apply to me? Because I'm going through difficult times right now. I'm going through a trial or a challenge. Or maybe I'm climbing a mountain and I'm tired. Or maybe I'm in the bottom of the valley and I'm dirty and I'm dusty. And I'm really, really tired. Like, I love the fact that the knowledge is out there, that God's got a purpose for me and he's going to protect me. But what happens now? And this is where the application comes. And this is something that I want in your life. I want us in my life. I would like to stick it in everybody's life. And that's this. There is no force on this planet that can challenge God's will. There's nothing that can sidetrack God's will for somebody whose life is devoted to him. And I want to remind you of Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 17, that says this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You say, oh, there's some prosperity gospel right there. But this is scripture. And it reinforces the message that we have tonight. That when challenges do come, God's got a sovereign plan to protect us. And he gives us his purpose. Would you and I tonight, through application, when you're going through a difficulty or when you're going through a trial, And when you're in the bottom of the valley, or when you cannot just summit this trial or this problem that you're encountering, this mountain, would you trust in God's promises while you travel through adversity? Would you literally open up God's Word and find the prescription that you need for that hour? Literally, as much as I can say this, I want to challenge you. It really boils down to the fundamentals that you and I open up this Word and we understand what God has for us this day. And then tomorrow, we open up this Word and we find out what this Word has for our tomorrow. I don't know if you know this, but it is amazing how applicational a reading has on the rest of the day. And sometimes it's not even for your life. Maybe it's for somebody that you come in contact with that you need to counsel. There have been several times where I've read Scripture and I've thought to myself, Lord, I take this in. I understand it. And I need to make decisions off that. And if there's somebody in my path today that needs this, let me remember it. And a lot of times there are. So transformational truth number one, God in His sovereignty plans to protect us and give us His purpose. And He even calls us His shield and His protector. Another transformational truth today, and you can say amen to this one, because this one's a good one. The last one was a good one too. But this one's really, really good. The second transformational truth is that God's love never fails. Ever, 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 ever. Romans chapter 8, verse number 32, write down, says that He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You understand the value here. Our God sacrificed His own Son. Literally in Scripture it says He spared not His own Son. Is that not incredible that our God took His only begotten Son, the most valuable possession that He had, and He gave it over for you and I while we were yet sinning? He died for us. This is incredible. And if I were literally able to take this transformational truth and embed it inside every little Awana, Cubby and Sparky and TNT, I would do it. Because this one transformational truth not only needs to be in our life, but needs to be in every single child that we come in contact with. That's why I go bonkers when we have extravaganza. I absolutely love all the children running around. And all the chaos of that as well, it's organized chaos. It's really well-organized chaos. But it's great. And the Family Fun Fest and all the things that we do as outreach, it's for one thing, and that is one thing only, and that's transformation. So that you and I would not only grow, but those that we come in contact would be Christ-like as well. So transformational truth number two is that God's love absolutely never fails. I want you to focus in on the extent of His love. That is, how far will God go? Well, Scripture says He gave us a sacrifice, and in essence, He is literally holding nothing back from you and I. Here in verse number 32, it does say this, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What is God holding back? He is holding back absolutely nothing. I have an illustration that just happened to me probably about 6 months ago. I was doing a final walkthrough at a job site that we were kind of just finishing up. And it was a lady owner that we were working for, very, very nice. And she was asking me just some personal questions. She had heard that we have 6 children. She asked me, are you a passionate Protestant or are you a Catholic? And I said, passionate Protestant. That's it. And she goes, well, you go to church? And I said, yeah, I do. I go to Marquette Manor up at 75th and Fairview. She goes, I know that. I know that that church up there. And I said, anytime that you'd like to visit, I think it would be great. You can sit with me, sit with our family. Love to have you. And she goes, what ministries do you have there? And I said, well, currently I'm involved in Sunday school class. And then I said, I just got involved in Awana. And her eyes lit up. And she said, you're in Awana? I said, yeah. She goes, I love Awana. And I said, okay, tell me about this. And she goes, when I was a little kid, I was in Awana. And she didn't even blink. She goes, can I help out? I said, well, it'd be kind of nice if you came to church. Let's get you in church first, and then, you know, let's get you involved. She goes, I love Awanas. I said, yeah, I know. A lot of people do. This is really, really good. And so one thing that she told me that she learned in the ministry of her church that she went to when she was a child is the fact that God loves her unconditionally. And through all the bad decisions that she had made in life, and I'm not saying anything derogatory towards her as a human being, through all these bad decisions, she remembered one thing, and that is God unconditionally loves her. So transformational truth number two is the fact that God's love absolutely never fails. And to the extent of God's love, he holds back absolutely nothing. Let's not only focus on the extent, but also the depth of his love. You understand, his love paid for our salvation. Does that ever overwhelm you? The fact that God's love literally paid for our eternal salvation. That someday when you and I are either raptured or lifted up into heaven, and we're walking the streets of gold, and we're together conversing for years on end, that it was love that brought us there. It was love that held Christ to the cross. Not only does it pay for our salvation, but it sustains us on a daily basis. How many of you know that God, on a daily basis, our Savior, intervenes and intercedes for us on a minute-by-minute, second-by-second basis? Have you ever fully thought that through? That our mediator is involved in our lives all the time. So not only did it pay for our salvation and it sustains us today, but through God's promises, we know that he will withhold nothing that's necessary for our growth and for our good. You say, Bob, okay, another great truth. I love the fact that God loves us and that his love is unconditional and that it's not going to fail. Good points, good knowledge. What's it mean? How is it going to help me through the difficulties and the trials and the circumstances that I'm going through today? Well, in moments of doubt, know this, that God loves you. In moments of difficulty and times of trial, and if you've ever gone through a trial, you know it's not momentary. You know it's going to be a while. It's going to be a minute. They don't pass quickly. During those times, God's love has not failed. Even though we may have diagnosed it something differently, his love never fails. And maybe you're possibly feeling tonight that things are not well, that things are not coordinated, that things aren't going in your way or not in your favor, or you quite possibly feel this, and I don't say this in any off circumstance or sarcastically, maybe you just feel abandoned at times from God, that he's not paying attention, that you've got real needs that are not being met and real prayer requests that are not being answered, and you just don't feel like there's a connection. I promise you this, based on promises found in God's word, his love hasn't failed. I will tell you this, that God knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows the intricate details, and his love for you has not failed. In verses 35 and also 38, it says this, who shall separate us from the love of God, or from the love of Christ? It's not going to be tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. In verse number 38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I don't know if you've ever come in contact with these verses before when you were going through a challenging part of life. I have. I've had to reference these verses before while being challenged. I've had to reference these verses before while going through deep trials. And it's reassuring to know that there's nothing that separates God's love that's intended to me. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, right? Sometimes things aren't going your way and you're getting upset or bitter or mad at a situation, which is not right. That's another sermon for another day. But nothing separates us from the love of God. Transformational truth number two. And then transformational truth number three is this. God will be victorious. He will be. In verse number 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How many of you love singing that song, Victory in Jesus? Do you have this thing memorized? I mean, this is the kind of song you don't even need, you know, it up on the screen. You don't need the hymnal. Let's get the piano out and let's just sing it. I mean, not right now, but I mean, we would know this by heart, right? We know all the verses. We know what it says. And I love the chorus where you sing so boldly, Victory in Jesus. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. The victory is in Him. And by the way, when this is all over and the difficulties and all the circumstances that we're struggling with, I know this. Based on promises found in God's Word, God's going to be victorious. You can say amen. I'm not going to be offended. God's going to be victorious. So, if there was a truth that I could take and get inside a little kid's head, it's this. God's got the victory. If I was a teacher in the Christian school, here's one thing I would tell the kids all the time. God's going to be victorious, and He is. God knows what's going on. He's got everything under control. He's got this, absolutely for sure. So despite all the things that are going on in the world, God gives us the victory, and when God says that He has the victory, He just didn't win with the last second shot. No, Scripture lets us know that He has an overwhelming victory. There's no competition. He wins. And whether you're going through a spiritual battle tonight, please remember, God is victorious. Maybe you feel overwhelmingly that the odds are stacked against you. Can I remind you tonight that it's going to be okay? God's victorious. He's got the upper hand. And God brings victory against seemingly insurmountable challenges. You remember the story of David and Goliath, right? Classic illustration. Classic Bible story. Classic truth. When you think of God's promise that the victory is on David's side, he walked into battle, not in his own strength, but knew exactly what was going to happen. And so he marches in, not full of pride, not full of ego, just trusting that God was going to fulfill His promise of victory. And there's a couple things I'm going to mention to you about having victory in Jesus. Yeah, you're going to have to get involved a little bit. So I want to make an application here. It's a wonderful truth for you and I to say, victory in Jesus. And it is there, and it's promised. But here's where the application comes. There's so much calibrating that you and I do, trying to find out what's going on in our lives and when's God going to do this. Can I just ask you, just by the upraised hand, have you, and this is just an acknowledgement, it's not a confession, how many of you would say to me tonight, because we're friends, hey, I've asked the question why before? How many of you have ever asked the question when? Okay, right? Lord, why? Why is this? Why me? Why now? And when is it going to be over? Could it be today? How about like a minute from now? That'd be good. Or it could be tomorrow. Could you answer the prayer request tomorrow? That'd even be better. So we ask these questions, and it's not as if we're challenging God. We're literally just human beings. And here's where the application comes is as we calibrate what's going on in our lives. Let me give you some encouragement and some application. Number one, stand fast in your faith. Amen. Good preaching, Bob. You and I stand fast in your faith. You should boldly be able to say, God's got the victory. I don't know what's going on, but God does. And He's in charge. And He knows exactly what's going to happen. And He's going to be a glorified. Number two, know, and I want to put the emphasis on this, know that ultimately God is victorious. You may see a loss in the column. You may see a loss from yesterday and a loss from last week. Ultimately know this, that God is victorious. Number three, devise a game plan. And I want to encourage you about this. This is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where the application is. I hope you woke up yesterday and just didn't start your day with no game plan. You're not heading into battle. You're just walking through the day. Whatever happens, happens. Whatever's going to be is going to be. And then you finish up your day at the end, and you think, well, didn't get much accomplished today. I don't know what happened, but I hope tomorrow's better. I need something good to happen. That's no game plan at all. And let me encourage you, when you wake up in the morning, and if you're a morning person, spend time with God in the morning. If you're an afternoon person, give Him your best. And if you're an evening person, give Him your best. But devise a game plan for the next day. Lord, there's some things I need to do to honor You. Lord, there's some people that I need to talk to. I need to encourage my kids. I need to spend time with this child. I need to spend time with my wife. I need to pray with her. I need to go call my husband and let him know he's the best person on planet Earth, and I love him. Another plug for home builders. All these things. Lord, there's an agenda that I have. And Lord, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I want to spend some time reading. And Lord, get into me this information that I need. Lord, convict my heart. Bring me to a point of decision so I can be a better servant for You. And Lord, I know I'm going into battle tomorrow. I know tomorrow's not going to be easy. And so, Lord, I'm going to put on the shield. I'm going to put on all my armor. And Lord, I'm ready. Put me in the game. Give me somebody to talk to. Give me somebody to encourage. Let me spend some time in prayer with one of my family members. Let me call a relative that I haven't talked to in a couple months and let them know I'm praying for them. You see, this is a game plan. This is what a game plan is, where you've set a strategy to glorify God and advance the causes of eternity. This is how God gets the victory. When you and I get active. And when we have a game plan. Also, a couple more, and then we'll wrap it up tonight. Don't consider what you see. Consider what God sees. Think about that for a second. Have you ever diagnosed a situation as just horrible, awful? It's not going to turn out. Boo-hoo. Now, it's just us here tonight, and we're family, so we can laugh and kind of smirk at this. How many of you have ever diagnosed a situation as horrible? You were boo-hooing. God had the situation wrapped up the entire time. He knew exactly the answer to prayer. Exactly. You give it a week or 2 weeks, God answers a prayer, and you just kind of lower your head and shake it off and think, oh, I had no faith. Why was I not trusting God in this situation? I'll give you an example. I'll make this quick. When Tamara and I were married, I was in grad school. Tamara was teaching in the elementary school down in South Carolina. And Tamara's dad asked me some questions when I asked him permission to marry her. He's like, what are you planning on doing with your life? And I let him know I had, wanted to give my life over to the ministry and things of that nature. And he's like, that's good. That's great. How are you planning on providing for my daughter? And I was like, well, you know, same thing. And we're gonna make the best of it. And he goes, what's your job right after you get married? I said, well, I have this job lined up with UPS. And I'm going to go to school. And on my time off, I'm going to be working for UPS. So Tamara got married, came back from our honeymoon, called up the guy that offered me the job. I said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. We don't have a job anymore. I said, wait a second. I've got a family to provide for. Brand new bride. Her dad's on my tail. I got to impress this guy. I can't say I don't have a job. And Tamara will be like a witness to this. I was just upset. Like it didn't work out. And I started to ask God, Lord, what's going on here? Like, I was diligent, had everything set up, crossed the T's, dotted the I's, had everything set up. Everything was good, and now it's not good. And there was approximately 3 weeks that I was literally like a caged animal. I needed a job. I wanted one badly. And I was praying to God every single day, please, 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 I need a job. I need a job today and tomorrow and for the rest of my life. I didn't know this, but God had already designed behind the scenes an individual that was going to teach me everything that I know now to provide for my family. I wouldn't have had that at all working at UPS at all. But God had this designed, and I didn't know this. But you know who did? God did. And so I want to encourage you, as God has the victory, and we're promoting this idea, and we're trying to draw some application to your life and my life, don't consider what you see. Consider what God sees. Because a lot of times, you can't see what God sees. But trust that He knows exactly what's going on. Finally, you have to have an offense. In every single game, in every single sporting event, you can't play defense the entire time and win. You eventually have to play offense, right? You have to score. You have to do something. You got to take the ball and you got to get it over the goal line or in the net or something. You have to play offense. And I want to encourage you, this is a plug, to get involved in the ministry. And I would encourage you to get involved here, but I would encourage you, more importantly, to get involved in eternal purposes. Can I get super serious with you tonight? One of the ways that God gets the victory is when you and I are active and communicating the gospel to a world that absolutely positively needs it. Would you consider tomorrow praying for an open door? Nothing else, just an open door. Lord, take me, the 18, 16 hours that I'm awake, and would you give me an open door tomorrow? Let me get the message out. Let me get some encouragement out. Let me get scripture out, and let me get it embedded in somebody's life. Give me an opportunity. Put me in the game, please. That's one way that God gets the victory, is that when we play offense. Moms and dads, would you consider this? Would you consider sitting your child down and just having just a word of prayer with them? That's it. Doesn't have to be about anything specific. Could be about daily events. Could be about the future. Could be about God's will. But would you consider sitting one of your children down and just having a word of prayer? Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a FaceTime. I don't know. But would you consider doing it? Would you consider being on the offense tomorrow? Would you consider stopping life and praying for somebody who's going through a very difficult time? Where you just stop life, you're on your knees, maybe on the side of your bed, maybe next to your easy chair, and you're saying, you know what? I'm on the offense. I'm going to spend some time. I'm going to spend some time in prayer. I'm just going to intercede on somebody's behalf that needs it. Tonight, I know this for sure, there are transformational truths found in Scripture that changes people's lives. We know that this happens through truth that's found in God's Word. God's got a sovereign plan for our protection, and He's got a purpose for us. Number two, God's love absolutely, positively never fails, and God will be victorious. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for the time that You've given to us tonight, and Lord, for Your Word. We're very, very thankful for Your Word and how, dear God, it has led us and held us by the hand through our lives, and how Your Holy Spirit takes us and convicts us, challenges us, and guides us. Lord, we ask, as we look at these transformational truths, Lord, that they would find a home in our lives, and that they would find application in our decision-making. We love You, dear Lord. We ask for Your blessings upon this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.